commanded blessings from descent to ascent. God never bestows upon his people or upon an individual superior blessings without a severe trial to prove them. John Widstow, 1954. In my last post, I introduced you to Cheryl. It's not a real name. She's a married LDS housewife in her 40s with several kids and is deeply spiritual. Her story is one of astounding spiritual depths, as she has suffered for many years with chronic pain combined with periodic, months-long, severe chronic insomnia, which left her body toxic. Now, to put it in perspective, she once took 9 muscle relaxants at the same time, and they had no effect. All of this, combined with blessings given by a seasoned, experienced priesthood leaders without any results, led to her wishing to die. It was only when her 19-year-old son, soon to depart on a mission, gave her a blessing which started the ball rolling in an upward trajectory. Now here's the rest of Cheryl's story. She says, "When I asked my son to give me a blessing, I received revelation on what he should say and do. 1, he needed to fast first. 2, he needed to not bless, but command my body to sleep. And 3, he needed to understand that this was a life and death situation, and that it required tremendous importance. The result? He later said he could feel the power of God rushing through his body and was subsequently exhausted. But for me, the blessing worked. I could sleep. Not a lot, but a little bit. But that was only the beginning of my ascent. At roughly the same time as my son's commanded blessing, I met a faithful priesthood holder, a mutual friend of a full-time missionary who once served in our area. Like the Savior, he took time to listen to me, thoroughly understand my condition, and the degree of faith I had in the Savior. You can tell he has a deep, long-term relationship with Christ. He's a tremendously humble man who wants zero acclamation. After several days of contemplating, I asked him for a priesthood blessing for my pain and insomnia. It was kind of intimidating because I knew this was a real priesthood holder with incredible faith and a close relationship with God. He accepted my request. In the blessing he gave me, I once again heard that word, command. But this time, it wasn't at my suggestion. He addressed my body, every organ, every nerve, every artery, every vein, every fiber, every cellular nucleus, and every atom in my body. Then he commanded them to work as they were originally created to function. By inspiration, he commanded them to alleviate my pain and to allow me once again to sleep. He commanded my body to once again enjoy healthy sleep patterns. He commanded my body to heal itself. Then he sealed the blessing upon me in the name of Jesus Christ. It's now been a month since that blessing, and after many years of chronic, everyday pain, the worst my pain has hit has been 8 instead of 10. I'm usually a 4, which is pretty functional for me. Several days after I got that blessing, I was a 0 on the pain scale, something I hadn't felt for over a decade. And as for the insomnia, well, I'm happy to report that it's gone. As in, I have been healed. A few weeks ago, I took a nap, something that's been a foreign, distant concept to me for years. I now fall asleep in the late evenings and wake up in the early mornings, just like most people do. 6 to 8 hours of sleep? Yep. Trouble going to sleep? Not anymore. Nightmares? Yep, they're gone too. Naps? Love 'em. But the story doesn't end there. I later received another blessing. It told me why I was blessed with pain and mortality, when it would be alleviated, and by whom. I now have context, and context for me means a great deal. I was also given blessings which are the direct inverse of my touching the depths of hell. Within the last month, God has pronounced me with blessings which are far and beyond anything I could have imagined qualifying for. He told me that because I had never turned my back on him when I was in the depths of hell. He would not turn his back on me in the heights of heaven. He then pronounced the profound, eternal, weighty blessings I had been granted, because I had faith in and loved him even in the depths of hell and near death. I am so unworthy of these blessings. I suppose no one ever is, but I'm also profoundly, profoundly grateful to Jesus Christ for his sensitivity, for his motivation, for his deep and thorough knowledge of me. I'm just an ordinary housewife with ordinary challenges. Yet my story is extraordinary because of my best friend, my Lord, and my God. I hope someday I can have the opportunity to look into your eyes and to testify to you personally my indisputable knowledge that Jesus Christ lives and loves us far more than we realize, and that I will cherish and adore him forever. But behold, the Lord hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have beheld his glory, and am encircled about eternally in the arms of his love. 2 Nephi 1:15. The difference between a prayer and a priesthood blessing. President Boyd K. Packer taught, priesthood is the authority and the power which God has granted to men on earth to act for him. When priesthood authority is exercised properly, priesthood bearers do what he would do if he were present. Elder Packer spoke those words in April 2010. A few paragraphs further in his conference talk, he stated, "We have done very well at distributing the authority of the priesthood. We have priesthood authority planted nearly everywhere. We have quorums of elders and high priests worldwide. But distributing the authority of the priesthood has raced, I think, ahead of distributing the power of the priesthood. The priesthood does not have the strength that it should have and will not have until the power of the priesthood is firmly fixed in the families as it should be." Now here we are a little over 8 years later, and President Russell M. Nelson stated, "Not long ago, I attended a sacrament meeting in which a new baby was to be given a name and a father's blessing. The young father held his precious infant in his arms, gave her a name, and then offered a beautiful prayer. But he did not give that child a blessing. The sweet baby girl got a name, but no blessing. That dear elder did not know the difference between a prayer and a priesthood blessing. With his priesthood authority and power, he could have blessed this infant, but he did not. I thought, what a missed opportunity." Let me cite some other examples. We know of brethren who set sisters apart as primary young women or Relief Society leaders and teachers, but fail to bless them, to bless them with the power to fulfill their callings. They give only admonitions and instructions. We see a worthy father who fails to give his wife and his children priesthood blessings when that is exactly what they need. Priesthood power has been restored to this earth, yet far too many brothers and sisters go through terrible trials in life without ever receiving a true priesthood blessing. What a tragedy. That's a tragedy that we can eliminate. Well, I couldn't agree more with President Nelson. All too often I hear blessings which sound more like what he said, admonitions and instructions, as if someone were laying hands on someone's head and citing paragraphs from the General Handbook of Instructions. Yes, President Nelson, such blessings need to be eliminated from the habits of every priesthood holder on the earth. Then there are those blessings which sound a lot like prayers. They include the phrases like, "Your Heavenly Father wants you to know," or "If it's God's will." Number one, I don't think God refers to himself in the third person. I can't think of a single instance where a member of deity referred to themselves in the third person. Can you? If you're receiving a blessing where God is being referred to in the third person, then from whom is that blessing really from? Number two, if we're wondering what God's will is in a blessing, then where's the assertiveness that we'll be talking about here in just a few minutes? The fact is, prayers and blessings are as different as peanut butter and jelly. Prayers are either a personal dialogue between an individual and Heavenly Father, or a beseeching, a request on behalf of a group of people. But blessings, they're neither dialogues nor requests. They are special favors and gifts bestowed by God or an individual. Blessings with real power. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. So if priesthood bearers do what he would do if he were present, what would Jesus do if he were invited to give a priesthood blessing? How much wishy-washiness would there be? Do you think he'd be saying, if the Father wills it, or God loves you, as if it's a unique thing we already didn't know? I don't think so. He and his true disciples will give inspired, personalized pronouncements, which are tremendously confident, bold, decisive, assured, forthright, firm, emphatic, authoritative, determined, and most of all, commanding. Deuteronomy 28:8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Psalm 133:1-3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Example 1. When Jesus saw the dead son of a widow, what did he do? He said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." That's in Luke 7:12-15. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise," isn't a prayer. It's a command. Example 2. Peter's blessings were pure commands. Here, read of this faith and assertiveness. It's in Acts 9:32-35. The operative sentence here is, "And Peter said unto him," Aeneas, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. Aeneas, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed," isn't a prayer. It's a command. Example 3. In other instances, we read that a prayer is offered first, then the blessing is pronounced, thus highlighting the differentiation between a prayer and a blessing. For example, we read of Peter praying, then commanding a woman who had died. This is Acts 9:40-41. It says, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive." Look, Tabitha, arise isn't a prayer. It's a command. And now here's example 4. Here's how Lazarus's raising took place. "And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him." And that's in John 1:41-45. Lazarus, come forth, isn't a prayer. It's a command. Now, I could cite many more examples of how Christ blessed people, and in some cases he prayed first, in others he didn't. Yet in all of them, when he gave blessings, they weren't iffy or indecisive, uncertain or unsure. They were commanded. Moving forward and upward. We've been told that when priesthood authority is exercised properly, priesthood bearers do what he would do if he were present. We have also seen church leaders lament the lack of this power both in 2010 and 2018. What about you? If this tragedy, to use President Nelson's term, is to be eliminated, then who does it realistically start with? Now, if you have priesthood, the authority and the power of which God has granted to men on earth to act for him, do your blessings reflect what he, Jesus, would do if he were present? Even before Jesus and Peter gave these blessings, they walked while connected with Father. And when the time came to give the blessing, they already had direct word from Father, and boom, Father's words were spoken, and God's grace instantly poured down like rain, washing people's eyes to see his majesty. Thus, we see two very important aspects with commanded blessings. First, you can't give blessings from God if you don't know his voice in the first place. If you want some ideas on how to do that, go to this blog post. There you'll see a link right here where I'm talking about this concept. It's the first in a series of posts I wrote about 4 years ago about how to walk and talk with God. Then, if you really want to learn more about the voices which influence us, please go to the blog. In the top menu, click on Posts by Topic. On the left-hand side, click Voices, and then the top of the page will list all the blog posts written about voices. Have fun. Secondly, if you ever experience one of these wonderful moments when Father clearly commands you to do something, don't flinch. Be ready to do what he says. Otherwise, you'll miss a rare and incredible opportunity to cooperate with God and see a wonderful miracle. Now, if you're the recipient of a blessing, are you going to be satisfied with a blessing that's incongruent with what he, Jesus, would do if he were present? How satisfied are you with generic, cardboard-tasting blessings? I certainly am not. So, run a play from Cheryl's handbook. Don't settle for second best. Approach the throne of grace with boldness and ask God, beg and plead with him, weary him with your importunings, that a priesthood holder with true priesthood power will come and work a miracle in your life. Joseph Smith once stated, God is not a respecter of persons. We all have the same privilege. Come to God, weary him until he blesses you, and we are entitled to the same blessings. I think it's natural for us to believe that we're somehow unworthy to give or receive a commanded blessing. To be frank, none of us are worthy. But my experience is that despite our insecurities and imperfections, God still longs to bless us, so we know for a surety how much he really does love us. Look at it this way. If a 19-year-old pre-mission elder can successfully give a commanded blessing, and the fruits are readily apparent for all to see, then any Melchizedek priesthood holder who is keeping the commandments and able to heed God's commands should be able to give one too. And it seems like President Nelson would love to see more of these too, don't you think? Perhaps a commanded blessing will calm the storms in your life. Or maybe the storms will be left to rage and Jesus will comfort you, his child. After all, isn't he the author of our hope? So approach Father's throne with reverence, but also boldness. Invite him to move the mountains in your life or someone else's to show you hope when there seemingly is none, and to show you that he truly is what he says he is, a God of miracles. Ask him if he has one more miracle left in his pocket. Then invite him to show the world what he's done in you, because that's what faith can do.
Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. Sky is falling.
broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water.